And Kathy Dawes, along with State Representative Susie Swanson, Sydney Carlin, Tom Phillips, Tom and Sydney, of course, from Manhattan, Susie from Clay Center. We're going to lead off this time with Sydney Carlin. Haven't done that yet during the hour. It's her turn to go first. And I know we had talked about concealed carry. There is still a lot of confusion, I think, about, of course, July 1st is a date. Here we go. But I know, of course, when it came to health facilities, there were some changes made. But if you don't mind kind of explaining where you ended up with that one, Sydney.
Yes, for the last, we're at the end of the fourth year where there were exemptions given to the universities, the hospitals, mental health centers, and some other places, I suppose. If you posted a picture of a gun with a sign extra, you could keep people from carrying. But that time is over because the law now reads that you can carry in any public building. So your private universities were exempted, and for the 4 years, we've been exempted. So Kansas State has not had that policy in place. But we have now reached the end of that. July 1, the new bill that we passed would keep guns out of mental hospitals, nursing homes, hospitals like KU Medical Center. We were able to persuade people that mental hospitals and places where people are incarcerated and like Larned are not a place for guns. And one of the reasons that this occurred was that Secretary of KDAD's Tim Kat came in to Appropriations Committee and said, he needed either $25 million to secure his hospitals or Osawatomie, Larned, the other buildings, all the buildings that they have. Or, he needed an exemption, and he was taken to task by a lot of Republican committee members for not having those securities in place already, but he had been told, really, that he could get an exemption. But then the rest of us wanted an exemption for our universities, et cetera. We were not allowed to do that. And we tried on the floor a couple of times to bring campus carry question to the floor, and we're not successful. I am very concerned about our sporting events and such, and it's my understanding that K-State plans to put in security for sporting events, at least football for sure. And so there'll be long lines at football games while you're going through security, but we've already been going through a sort of security, so I don't know how much change that's going to be. They always check my purse when I go in and make sure.
We have to have a clear bag
mm-hmm. now. So anyway, we're going to spend money doing that. The athletic department has its own money, but the universities do not have the funding to put in security at every door. Courthouse went through this, and they put in their, and you may have some prices on that. I've been going to check and have not done that, but they had 5 entrances to the courthouse that they had to secure or close up. And so, you have to have egress and ingress to these buildings. So I'm very concerned because I know we have professors that are leaving. I'm very happy that my son is a professor in Georgia, and his governor vetoed that bill, and so he doesn't have to deal with guns in his classroom. I just hope that we will be able to find a way to get this back into a vote. I think we could have passed it on the floor of the House, but we were not given that chance this year.
Susie, your thoughts?
Well, the bill that did come before the House was debated, and it received 91 votes out of 125, and I thought that was remarkable because the NRA and the KRA are very strong lobby groups, and there are many NRA members within our legislative body, and so for 91 legislators to vote to support that, to me, made a statement. And I represent a more of a rural area, and so I feel like there's probably a big split among my constituents in terms of like the campus carry, and I've heard from both sides from my constituents. I also know though that General Myers, the president of K-State, is not in favor of having guns on campus, nor I think are the Riley County Police Department, if I understand that right. So what will come next year. I don't know. There's been speculation that if people have to stand in line for hours to get into ball games, that they may have a different opinion about campus carry. I don't know if that will happen or not, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Representative Phillips, and I know, of course, it was an interesting issue, no matter how you want to look at it, but and I'm sure you hear from constituents that are KRINRA. I mean, it's a very strong contingent.
It is, and, you know, politics has gotten so polarized today that it everything is seen as a right and a wrong, and we forget that sometimes things aren't always in the polarized opposites. There's the middle ground. And I think most people that I interacted with, certainly I heard from some folks that didn't like my vote, but I think most folks said it's reasonable to not have guns in mental institutions, hospitals, and the debate about guns on campus, I think that will come sometime. I think Representative Carlin is right. I think that probably would have passed on the House floor. Highly unlikely it would have passed the Senate, and for sure the governor would have vetoed it. And I just don't know that we would have gotten a veto override. So, you know, you can win a battle, but you may not win the war on these issues, given the whole composition of the State House. So, you know, we just have to save that issue for another day.
I'd like to add one thing. Justice Scalia wrote an opinion for the Supreme Court that said that you do not have the absolute right to carry guns in an educational facility. And we did talk about that on the House floor, but it, you know, that was...
Susie, you wanted to add something too?
Well, yes. I remember at one of our forums at the zoo, a lady came up to me afterwards and said she'd been an NRA member for years, belonged to the Kansas Rifle Association. She said, please don't paint all members of these organizations with the same brush. She said, I'm staunchly opposed to carrying guns on campus. And so that was a good message for me to hear, because I think it's true. Now, we can't say that all NRA members think the same way. So that's what I have to try to do as a legislator in my district, is kind of decipher, you know, what are people's appetite for letting guns on campus.
Okay. Not to put you on the spot, Tom, there was an interesting Associated Press article just this morning talking about, you know, the word that apparently Governor Brownback told a small group of legislators it would be politically better for him if they overrode his veto. Did you hear anything about that, supposedly kind of a closed meeting? And
I knew there was a meeting. I was not in the room, but I knew there was a meeting. Speaker Reichman had probably gathered some individuals up, trying to figure out what's our next move on this, because we had passed the tax plan, he had vetoed it, and so the decision was what are we going to do with this veto override, and so that they went in and had this conversation. Depending on who you listen to, everyone's interpretation is a little bit different, but a lot of people walked out of that room with the impression that the governor didn't want to sign a tax plan. It would be better for us, the legislators, to override him. Interestingly enough, and I'm not saying this now with 2020 hindsight, but I always kind of had this intuitive feeling that the governor didn't really want us to force him to sign a tax plan. He would much rather have been overridden. And so that's exactly what happened. Some of the more conservative members who had not voted for tax plans before actually decided to vote for the override. And I know that they are getting... chastised by their friends and their supporters for voting for this. But in my mind, that was a good example of true leadership, because had that override not passed, I think we would still be there this today trying to figure this out, because this was probably the closest solution that we could find with all the interested views and differences of opinion. This was probably as close as we were going to get.
And it's not perfect. I mean, Sydney, I know there's another Associated Press article today that talks about how, you know, you're probably still going to have to find fiscal patches in other places. I mean, it's not perfect, this tax bill.
No, it isn't. But it did allow us to do, you know, the raises for state employees, 2.5%. But these are only for people that haven't had a raise in the last 5 years or new people. But we're still short on highways. In order to do any highway work in the next 2 years, we have bonded are given authority to bond $400 million up to that much in maintenance projects. So it's only maintenance. We have borrowed again in our current budget for 18 and for 19, we're borrowing $300 million each year from the highway sales tax. So we're taking all they have from highways. And so that is where I was trying to get the tax bill up to take care of that. Couldn't do it. I mean, it was, that's $1 billion right there, you know, and we got 660 million. We didn't get a billion. We have 1.2 billion, but that's over 2 years. So it's $660 million roughly a year. So we are facing in 2020, we are not going to have a balanced budget unless the economy picks up. Hopefully, you know, people having a little more money and being able to hire some people back to work and such as that is going to help the economy. But we're just going to have to work really hard on that.
And things aren't perfect. I know, Susie, we want to let her go ahead. Susie, we haven't heard from you in a little bit. But before we wrap up, we have about 3 or 4 minutes. And just anything else you're wanting to add? You sounded pretty optimistic about the way things went, considering. But there's still a lot of money involved and a lot of question marks out there. But just any thoughts as we wrap up today?
Well, I would say we know that it took some time for us to get in the position that we're in financially as a state, and it's going to take some time to get out of it. And that was what it was hard for us, especially in the women's group, to realize we're not going to do it in one session. So yes, this budget is not perfect. It doesn't take care of all of the issues that we have as a state, but it's a beginning. And we'll have to see what next year brings. If the LLCs bring in more money than what we thought they were going to bring in, that will be good. If the economy picks up, that will help. There are some unknowns, and so we'll just have to wait and see what next session brings.
Representative Phillips, you wanted to add something real quickly.
Well, yeah, in 2 years we have an election coming up, well, I guess next year, and it's going to be an opportunity for us to determine the future of Kansas. And from my viewpoint, it's not like we want to turn the clock all the way back to the way it used to be. We still have a responsibility to create an efficient government, but we have to have a properly funded government and fulfill our core duties and responsibilities. And that's the debate I think that we'll have on the campaign trail, is because we have raised taxes and people are going to say, did you solve the problem? And it's all going to come down to how you define the problem and the role and the responsibility that government has here in the state of Kansas.
Representative Carlin, about a minute left, anything?
Yeah, we've got a 20-year problem to fix here because we can't even remember all the bills that need to be changed and replaced and repealed. So I'm just excited that we had a legislature that was working together. House worked with the Senate and the House worked with each other, and all the factions came together, and I'm just really pleased with that. Thank you.
I was beginning to wonder the end of May when you were ever going to finish. As you well know, I've been trying to schedule this program for weeks now, and glad to have all of you here that we were able to get here today. So thanks again for, you know, adjusting your schedules accordingly. We do appreciate State Senator Tom Hawk checking in with us via phone. I know Ron Hyland had a committee meeting, apparently wasn't able to get through with that in the hour that he was hoping he'd be able to. But again, our thanks, and thanks to our listeners. You've been listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.
Good job this morning, Kathy. Thanks to all for participating. Moving up on 10 a.m. CBS News in just a couple of moments. By the way, tomorrow on KMAN's In Focus, City Commission Day, Manhattan Mayor Yusha Reddy and City Manager Ron Fear to join us to give us a preview of tomorrow night's City Commission meeting. Clark Howard comes up after CBS News, followed by the Rush Limbaugh Show, Dan Patrick, and then the game with John Kurtz, Tyler Drying, Mitch Fortner, and whoever else is going to be joining in. Got lots to talk about, including what sounds like a new transfer for K-State basketball. Royals at 6:30 on KMAN.
Get everything you want in a checking account and more with Checking Plus from KS State Bank. KS State Bank, member FDIC, KMAN, Manhattan.